Peace. You're tuned into the Edible Activist Podcast. I am your host and favorite edible activist, Melissa L. Jones. On this show, we feed you empowering narratives and perspectives from the voices of emerging Black people and people of color in food and agriculture who are stewarding the land, healing communities, and advocating for food justice and economic power across the globe. Our rich contributions and stories exemplify the spirit of activism in their own edible way. Let's get started. All right, peace and welcome to the Edible Activist Podcast. I am your host and favorite edible activist, Melissa L. Jones, broadcasting live from The Line, D.C., y'all. I am back in this space and super excited to bring another episode. But I have a very special guest for a very special episode that we're excited to launch, okay? So, and you all, some of y'all may be familiar with her. So, Filani, I got Filani a Bird's Nest box in the building.
Hey,
cousin.
Hey, cousin.
That's our thing.
What's going on? Yes.
You know, just another day in the city.
Love that.
Yes, yes. The leaves are beautiful. We're here in Adams Morgan. I'm excited. This gives me energy to like be back in person.
Yes.
And so, and to sit here with you and chat and bring our guests just some super dope conversations.
Yes.
And, you know, give them a preview of some of the things we got up our sleeves, right?
Yes. Yes. Always something up the sleeves.
Yes. So, also, for you all who I interviewed Filani probably a couple months ago at this point, so go and find that episode. So Filani, a Bird's Nest Box, she is a grower, she is a cultivator, she is all the wonderful things here in the DC native. I got to say that. Shout out to DC, your DC roots. But I'm gonna let her tell more about herself. But I'm just super excited to bring this episode to you all. Filani and I, like we just said a few, you know, we were chatting up a few moments ago. We really serve each other's thought partners, right? And so we talk a lot about just different ideas that we have in this space of food and agriculture.
Yes.
And we share a lot of similarities. We come from very big families. Our families are rooted in the South, hence
yes.
why we call each other cousin.
Yes.
And so we were rapping one day, right?
Uh-huh.
And Filani was like, we should do a cousin talk. And I was like, Let's do it,
right?
And so we are here. But before we dive more into the concept of cousin talk, for those who may not know me or may not know Filani, just another brief introduction of myself, Melissa Jones. I am the founder and creator of Food Talks in Color, which is an amazing platform that amplifies the voices of Black people and people of color in food and agriculture. And The Edible Activist is this really dynamic podcast where I get to talk to guests like Filani and others who are just really shepherding the food movement in this space. We talk all things tradition, lineage, food justice, growing, farming, all the things, health and wellness. And so I just wanted to say a hello for those who haven't heard my voice before or haven't met me. And so I'm going to pass it on over to Filani so she can give you all the goodness.
Thank you, Mel. And you have such a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
To do this type of work. Thank you so much for having me. It's always joyous just to talk with you, whether if we meet up in the garden and picking greens or over a good plate of food.
Ooh.
My name is Filani. I am a filmmaker and a Afroecologist, and I grow seasonal organic produce. I empower others to grow their own crops. I give workshops. I'm a lover of genealogy, family, good food, good music, and travel. So
yes.
And the owner of Bird's Nest Box.
Don't forget about that.
Yes.
Ow. Yes, yes. And I'm telling y'all, if y'all aren't following Bird's Nest Box on Instagram, yeah, we got a little friend in the background, y'all. If y'all aren't following Bird's Nest Box, please go ahead and do so, because when she says a lover of genealogy, she is not playing. I mean, just the richness of her platform and her feed and just everything. Like, it is just, I'm literally like stalking every photo.
Thank
and just
you,
like,
Mel. I'm gonna take you with me everywhere.
Please,
I go.
Please, I'll come.
Yeah, so that you can, so serve as the words yes. to what Bird's Nest Box is all
you know,
about.
Listen, so. I will be your ambassador, honey. That's, you know, we need more of us.
Okay, so we met around Earth Day, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, at Chrissy of Charismatic Creations.
Shout out to Chrissy.
Dinner, shout out to Chrissy. We met there, me and you, we vibed. Then we met a few, we saw each other again a few days later
yep.
at New Brooklyn Farms.
Yep.
And that's where we talked so much during the shoot
mm-hmm.
Of your intro and mm-hmm. outro that mm-hmm. That's where this cousin talk evolved from. Mm-hmm. So I also love good conversation.
You do.
I'm glad to just be here and just talk about whatever we want,
yes,
pretty much.
Yes, you know? Yes, yes, absolutely. And Falani is a comedian. So when I met her, it was at Chrissy's event. And then I think it was a day or two later, it was actually the other event that she had on the rooftop that Chrissy had us cracking up laughing and was telling us about her most recent travel experience. But then, yes, for those who are tuned into my YouTube, the beautiful intro and outro that was shot by my homie Steve of All or Nothing Studios, Falani was part of that. Like, if you see me, you see someone else, that is Falani at New Brooklyn Farms. And we got to shout out Doug at New Brooklyn Farms. But, yes, that's where this evolved from. What up, Doug? That's where, pardon me, the concept of cousin talk evolved from. And it was conversations around, especially specifically with Black families, right? Like, there's so much stuff that we don't talk about, and we keep a lot of things secretive.
Yeah.
And it's just like, we...
Or
we,
when we talk about it, it's like, cousin, come to the side.
Right?
Or, sister, come to the side. It's like, we all tap dance and talk about each other or things, but mm-hmm. some stuff is never really like
revealed
yeah.
or out in the open or intentional. There's no intentional dialogue behind it.
Right.
So that's really the premise for Cousin Talk. We really want to unearth our you know, some of those things that and secrets and happenings down our lineage, down our line.
And for real, I don't necessarily know that it's secrets. I feel like it's happenings that certain people have mm-hmm. decided to keep those happenings mm-hmm. within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
then, you know, you stumble upon something
right.
later on where you're like, was it a secret? Was it intentional that you guys kept this in? Or
yeah. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And I know one of the things, the other thing that we didn't mention either. So, you know, myself and Falani partnered on a really great dinner experience back in September where we honored Black women in agriculture, Black growers.
Yes.
And so we were actually having this discussion. We were like, how can we have this conversation, right, around our families without airing out any dirty laundry, you
right.
know, as two people who we love our families. And here, let me be very clear. This ain't no spill all tell all, right?
Not
let's
at
be
all.
Very
yeah, because I think
yeah.
that's
oh,
saying.
Yeah.
It's not about secrets.
It's not that. Right,
no,
right,
yeah.
right.
We're not coming to do that.
Right.
Again, we just want to have very frank
yes.
talks that family members have and relatives have
mm-hmm.
and friends and loved ones have.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about, hey, let me come and tell y'all the drama of this
yeah,
week.
No, that's not it.
No, yeah, we're not doing that. We're talking about dishes and recipes
mm-hmm.
and kitchen stories
mm-hmm.
and things of that sort.
Because
you and I have both talked
yes.
about how we grew up, you know, in
mm-hmm.
the kitchen and the recipes we saw being made
right.
and the conversations that maybe you could have got a glimpse of, but they sent you away, you know, because
right.
you were a child and
right.
stuff like that. And so, yeah, it's not about, like we said, airing things out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that certain things don't get talked about.
Right, right. And I guess I make that comment because there are some super sensitive things in the family, you know, within our family lineage. So we talked a lot about land, right? And how hairy and sticky that can get.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe again, not. And I guess just being wanting to be respectful, you know,
right.
of our families because we love them dearly. But we also know in the same breath that having these conversations, we want it to be able to help future generations too.
Exactly.
Because we know that there are some things that, even if it's, you know, the sharing of recipes or those kitchen stories, like there are things that I feel like if we're not exposed to, that's part of my story that I'm able to share, you know, and being authentic and bringing that to the space,
right?
You know, because I was privy to that. Yeah. But for those who aren't, it's like an encouragement to say, hey, grandma, like, where are these ingredients? You know, where did you write this down at? Or, you know, like, where are those photos? Like, do you have any photos of your mom or your mom's mom? Like, those opportunities.
Exactly.
And always, and that is even more important because I'm telling you, my homie, he said, the history that we should really be the most concerned about is like our own family history. Like that is the history for us to lean into. I will never forget that. So it's things around that. And we just want to encourage you to have these conversations and to, you know, sit down with auntie, especially while you have them around. If you are, if you have your elders around, pull them to the side, sit with them.
Yeah. Cause they love to talk. And sometimes they don't start to share certain things until they're much older and you've become into your adulthood. You know, like, of course, the conversations. I remember feeling like, oh, I'm an adult now. I can sit with the adult family members. And you, it's like more and more comes out as the older you get, you know, because you get to, you know.
Exactly.
Sit. And, so, and then I feel like, you know, of course, there's always filters when it comes to communicating in Black families, right? So, it's some things that maybe they wouldn't share, like, but my grandma, she has dementia, so she has no filter, you know? So, she started sharing so much that I knew that if she, unfortunately, she does have dementia, but if she didn't have it, she probably wouldn't have shared some of those stories because because she reaches back in time and stuff. So I think that we have to take the time out to sit with elders, because a lot of the times if you don't stimulate conversations, then these stories are just going to be somewhere locked away in their mind.
I like that you say stimulate conversations. You got to stimulate.
You
got to
stimulate. Yeah, you got to stimulate. And because I remember asking my grandma before she started, you know, the dementia started taking over more, asking her certain things, and she would be like, oh, I don't know. I never could ask them type of things. They always sent me away. So that was a cultural thing. Of course, as children, you couldn't be in adult business, right?
Right.
But on the same token, what are the things that she could have learned that she didn't? Because, and then when you are old enough to maybe probe and ask things, people still don't want to expose stuff. So I'm just thankful that that to just sit with the elders, and it seems like even in my 30s, I'm able to even get more information.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
Because now.
You're grown now.
Now, and in addition to that, they're so old that they just like, I'm going to tell it all.
I'm going to tell everything. I ain't got nothing to lose, sweetie pie.
I ain't got nothing to lose, so. So yeah, it gets funny and it gets juicy, you know, like,
but you know what? You're so right. Cause I remember I asked my grandmother, I said, grandma, who, AKA affectionately known as Big Ma, who is my dad's father?
Yeah.
I never asked that question. I just turned 40. I asked that question recently.
Girl, you a liar.
Not lying.
Wow.
I'm not lying. No, I'm not lying.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I would have never heard
your grandpa.
Yes. My grandpa. Yes.
A man that she had relations with.
Yes. Yes.
All these years.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
And this is why we have to have conversations
exactly
like this, because this is a normal practice.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Wow. And I felt a mystery.
And I felt, and you know, it gets touchy. That's why it's a mystery. Yeah. It gets touchy, you know, because we're talking. You know, my big ma has 5 kids, and my dad is the oldest.
Okay.
And you know, different fathers. And me wanting to know, and every time they see me and I pull out my recorder, they'd be like, here she go. Yes, this is me. I'm coming.
Uh-huh.
I want to know.
Yeah.
And me knowing really has a lot to do with the authenticity that I bring to the greater world,
right,
on a macro level, but just knowing myself, mm-hmm, is a level. It's a level of power.
Yeah, it's very empowering.
It's very empowering. And I can't explain all the in-between dynamics, but I think, and I've said this before on the show, a lot of the, let me not say a lot, but I believe that a lot of the mental issues and mental health issues that exist in this world is because people really, truly don't know themselves.
Yeah.
And they may not be, and that may not be their fault. There's trauma, you know,
right,
there's all sorts of things. But
disconnection.
There's connection.
Know?
So it's me, no, not to pry, like, you know, girl, what you doing about? I want to know because I'm asking for photos. I want to see the facial features.
Right.
I want to see, do we have the same nose? Because the genes are strong in my family.
Yeah. I want to know if we have the same characteristics. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's important to know these things.
It's extremely important. And so, at the onset of the pandemic, so that was 2020, and September of 2020, my grandmother, so y'all will hear me say my grandmother and my big mom. My big mom is my dad's mom. My grandmother is my mom's mom. They're both still living. And
wonderful.
Yes,
Ashe.
A blessing, Ashe. Mm-hmm. Blessing. So my grandmother gets sick. This is when my grandfather was still living. Rest in peace. And she gets sick. And I knew she was taking care of my grandfather. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I got to go down there. Because she's doing everything. I got to go down there. So we get down there, and I was down there for about 2 months.
Wow.
The longest I've ever spent in Mississippi.
Yeah.
I've gone to Mississippi every year of my life.
Right.
My parents did not play. Every year of my life, I'm going back down south.
Yeah.
But this time I got to spend extended time, and I was
beautiful.
Very beautiful.
Yeah.
Invaluable.
Yeah.
Literally. Then I got to go to the very small town of where my grandmother,
Big Ma came from.
Where Big Ma came from, but talking about my grandmother, I got to actually go to her small town too, but that was really at that point where I just got to sit in the kitchen.
Yeah.
When she was getting better, because I nursed her back to health, right?
Beautiful. Look
I nursed her
that.
Back to health. But I got to sit in the kitchen and watch her clean greens and just talk to her and ask her questions.
Right.
Right? Now, on the other side of my family, while I was down there, Big Mom, I was able to go to the small town where they grew up.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I learned my great-grandmother was a doula.
See?
And how many babies. We got similar stories. I know you got a similar story. How many babies she delivered
exactly.
in that small town? And I did not. I had to have been 39.
Wow.
Or something. Something like the 38,
recent
something like
again.
That.
Yeah.
Recent. I never knew. No one ever shared that information. And then it's the thing now, like, she delivered so-and-so down the road up the street.
Right. Yeah.
Never told me.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's real interesting that it's like, because again, why? It's not that that's a secret.
Right.
It's just that it wasn't discussed.
It just wasn't discussed. But then for me, it gives me the extra layer of power, right, to really understand my role as a creator,
right,
and just, you know, a creator, and just, you know, how, and we're both creators, and we birth so many ideas and everything, you know, you and I talk about everything, and so it gives me that extra layer of power to make that connection, and knowing that that's in my bloodline.
Yeah,
I just thought that was incredible. I said, no, I literally said to him, like the guy who I was talking to, he delivered her, she delivered him.
See? Yeah, look at that. Right there. So the stories are right there in front of our very eyes.
Yes. Yes.
And even those who may not come from large families,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
hopefully you have one elder in your family that you can reach out to.
Pull
you
know, everything just, from, if you can.
You could talk on the phone with them for hours. Yes. Like, I've had some cousins where, and this is what was so beautiful about cousins is because it's so many different generations of cousins.
Yes, you got first cousin, second cousin, third cousin.
I had one cousin where, because my dad, he don't really like to talk or socialize a lot. Okay. Now, he's conversational, but he's not one that's really much into small talk. So he would be the type, because I've always showed interest in family history, mainly because of the stories that he would tell to us. He always had like a million and one stories about growing up, you know, in the country down North Carolina, but he'd be like, oh, call your cousin such and such. She loves to talk. Because if he does come across somebody like, you know, a cousin or someone on the phone, he's not the one that's about to rap it.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh, she'll tell you a lot. And sometimes it's not even that I was searching for info. It's just he's like, well, since you like learning stuff and this cousin loves to talk, call her. And I hadn't seen that lady probably since I was like a little girl. And we formed a lot of relationship over the phone and her just sharing stuff.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Stuff that even she was holding in. This is my father's like first cousin who she was pretty much an elder. She wasn't too old, but at least 70 and up.
Mm-hmm.
And so some relatives, I just talked to on the phone. Now, Cousin Teen, she since passed away, but I just appreciate. Then I had a great aunt, Aunt Louise. She was the oldest of my great-grandparents' 10 children. Me and Aunt Louise talked on the phone till she was like 102.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she loved to talk on the phone.
So deep.
Yeah.
So deep.
And and then again, it's different levels of conversation.
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, that you can get from as opposed to a first cousin, you know? Because me and my first cousins, we grew up like siblings.
Yeah. Yeah.
We
same
grew up
here.
Like siblings.
Same
yeah.
here. Mm-hmm.
And so.
I'm so glad you said that there are different levels of conversation because my grandmother, child, I get her on the phone for 5 minutes, she's ready to go. I got to be sitting in the house with her on the couch where she prefers and just talking to her, right?
Yeah.
You know? And so, but also speaking to different levels of conversation because of the different generations of cousins, as you mentioned, which is so like, I'm so glad that you said that. So key because it is going to be a different conversation for each of those generations. Like it really is.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and even just this week, I got another elder cousin. I think she's one of the first grandchildren of my great-grandparents.
Whoa.
Right? And cousin has been calling me all week. She's like 81.
Yes! Yes!
I'm like... And it's about some land, some family land, and... some situations going on. Yeah. But I had to tell cousin, I said, cousin, right away, I said, you do not need to worry about this in these coming days. This is not something that we can solve.
Mm.
So please stop worrying about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to pick up the phone when certain people call. You know what I'm saying? Like, cousin. And so she listened because I'm like, you too old. Sometimes she leave voicemails by accident.
Aww.
Talk about her hip hurt and this and that. And that's why I'm like, cousin.
That's not worth it.
Yeah, let's leave that alone. Mm-hmm. It'll work you up too. Mm-hmm. And I said, and it's generational. These disputes.
Child.
They keep going and going. I said, it's a mess.
Ooh.
Now, cousin, I would talk to you about other stuff all day.
Yeah.
But so I'm just
but
like.
But this right here is just like, just let it rest.
Let it rest. At least for the moment. But I enjoy that Cousin Jean is mobile on her phone and and can even reach out. You know?
Yeah, that's big. That's really nice. Big. That's really yeah, big.
And even if I'm busy, because some cousins talk a lot.
Right.
So even if I'm busy, I still pick up for her and tell her that because that's an elder cousin.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
And so.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah, girl.
Yes. You know what I also love about and what I love and what I'm excited about in terms of the cousin talk, but just family in general, right, is that the just different jokes that we have within the family,
yeah.
You know, that I think it would also be generational, you know,
right.
Those things are so key and so important,
yeah.
You know, down to the cousin who's going to call you every other day. I got one of those.
Right.
Shout out cousin really red. He going to call you every, and I'm talking about everybody in the family.
I got an uncle artist ring. He calls me almost every day. And you got a Willie Red.
Yes, I do. Really,
Lord.
Willie Red, R-E-D.
Willie
yes,
Red.
Yes, he's calling every other day.
I bet he
day.
Has similar characteristics to artist Ray.
Probably. Probably. I swear we related, cousin. We related.
Yes.
We related. We are related. But I just even think it boils down to that, you know, like those jokes, like the nicknames in the family,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just different, you know, another prime example is, my great aunt, rest in peace, from Chicago. There's a running joke in the family. And actually, she would sit. If anybody's been to Chicago in the wintertime, you know how brutally cold it is. So a third of my family's in Chicago. This woman was known for sitting in front of the oven with all her eyes on. Literally. Like, we'd be like, oh, auntie, like, we don't think this is too safe, but you, apparently she was doing it for years. And so, like, right. And we always talk. So when I get together with my family, it's
yeah,
something we
it's
always
something,
talk about.
Exactly.
You know, it'd be like, yeah. Arnell used to sit in front of the oven with the eyes on.
Right.
And like, we know it's like below zero in Chicago,
yeah.
Arnell. But like, but also this is the same auntie that would throw down on some chicken and dumplings and
yes.
like the only one. In addition to, I think my great grandmother made them too, like, and that's when I was actually still eating meat, throw down on some, I'm talking from scratch, like chicken and dumplings.
Right.
So just to have those conversations and those memories to be able to laugh about with your family,
yeah.
I think it's like, it's part of that cousin talk.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's not family if it's not good laughs.
Hello?
And good jokes and good folklore. Family folklore.
Absolutely.
You know, to keep things going and juicy.
Yes. I
That's
agree.
All they like to do down there. My family sit under the tree, girl, and just talk about stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Personal stories or
mm-hmm.
stories, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Relatable stories and just laugh, girl. It's funny.
Yeah.
This stuff is funny.
And just the power of just being able to be in the presence for those stories to come up is just everything. Just everything. Well, Filani, you speaking of family, you know, you just embarked on a amazing experience for your family down south.
Yes.
And so, you know, I was, you know, again, liking, commenting, just over all the photos.
Yeah.
But let's talk about that because this was a family affair.
It was. It was a very momentous.
I think that's it. Don't
momentous
judge.
Evening
uh-huh.
for my family. In which, so this side of the family is my grandmother's mother's side. So my great grandmother, and they don't meet up a lot
okay.
because of some land disputes.
Mm.
Now some of them go to the same churches, but it's always been this kind of like that pink elephant in the room, like. Everyone knows where the tension stems from.
Yeah.
But it's never been addressed.
Yeah.
And I'm talking like old stuff.
Like old. Like, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Some,
we hold on
like
to some stuff.
my great great grandmother's stepsons took the land from my great grandmother and then when she was a baby. Old stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah, but it's like...
That's decades old.
Girl. And so, But it's like you hear these things growing up about some land was stolen. And so they, because it's never really been addressed, because again, it's about sweeping certain stuff under the rug, right?
Yeah.
And it also goes back to like, you know, sexism and stuff like that, because the land, because the more and more it's exposed to me, mm-hmm. the land that my great-grandmother's brothers took from her, it wasn't even my great-great-grandpa's land. I know it sounds crazy, but it was a woman's land, my great-great-grandmother.
Oh.
She bought the land.
Oh.
Yeah, but he had her husband. He already had a set of kids before her. And she had like three girls with him.
Okay.
But the other children, the boys was older. So when she died, they got that land.
Sticky. Yeah.
Real sticky.
Very
girl.
Sticky.
And so my great grandmother never addressed it. They even when I asked my uncles and my aunts, my great aunts and uncles, they like, oh, mama told us not to bother with it because she never wanted to fight over it. And in any event, girl, so this side don't get together that much, because the descendants of the man who took the land, they still live on it.
Even more stickier.
They still live on it, but they can't even erect a real house. Because the deed is cloudy because of what happened in the past. So they can only put... There go Uncle Artis Ray. Uncle Artis Ray. And see, it's been a few days. In any event, I don't want to get too deep, but I let me get back to the matter of hand. So that side of the family really doesn't get together much.
Okay.
And I think there was also some colorism involved because my great-grandmother's family was fair-skinned. Native American, black, African, you know, little white in there and shit like that, you know, from sexual exploitation and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So my great grandmother, she married a real, real dark, a black man who also was my great grandpa. He was a big moonshine dealer. Whoa. And so my great grandmother, that side of the family, they was a little prestige kind of,
okay,
so to speak. And so there was a little bit of ostracization, you know, that occurred. Mm. So I'm saying all that to say, girl.
Well, you had some to deal with some dynamic. You knew the dynamics you were dealing with going into it, but
yeah. But and of course it'd be interesting because when the conversations come up. When I started to do interviews for this family documentary, people would be like sending me to different people to talk to, but they'd be like, but don't mention any of that stuff. Talking about the land dispute. And I'm like, okay, I'm not, but why would I go in? And even some people, they'd be like, well, they not going to talk to you because they, you know, they sitting on that land. So anyways, I had a beautiful dinner, which my uncle Artis Ray was so excited to help me plan, because again, this family doesn't really see each other that much. And so I learned about my great 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 grandmother's origin story from Formosa, this small island off the coast of Guinea-Bissau. So I went there, made a documentary. So I wanted to share some clips with this side of the family. The sad wise girl, I could talk a lot.
No, I'm here. I
so
said share.
I planned this beautiful night to invite the sad wise. Now, mind you, my great-great-grandpa, old man Cullen, he had three wives. Not at the same time, but he married three times. I think the first two wives had died, and then the last wife, Grandma Lizzie. So the last wife, Grandma Lizzie, she already had like, I think 15 kids when she married old man Cullen, and then he had maybe like 11 or 12. So
they had
it became
some kids
a blended
back
family.
In the day. Oh, that was blended.
Girl, so we invited everybody to the dinner. And so everybody came out. Girl, I didn't have to do much. I created a flyer, sent it between Uncle Artis Ray, Yes. He's like an ambassador and be talking to everybody. And then this other cousin, Belinda, girl, they got the word out.
I know that's
right. It showed me that the tongue in the mouth is still more powerful than social media, at least in my world, in my family, because, girl, them people were so excited and coming out to hear about the lineage and my voyage to the ancestral land. And we, my uncle, Artis Ray, is also a chef, so he helped me cook up some foods that I learned how to make in Guinea-Bissau, this nice chicken dish that it was marinated in these peppers that I had grown from seeds from Guinea-Bissau. And it was just a beautiful evening, like weather-wise. And
I need to know what else was on this menu. So keep the going. Menu, keep okay, going.
So the menu,
because we're talking to a bomb cook over here,
so
y'all,
black-eyed
too.
Black-eyed peas is something that they love to eat also in West Africa. And so we had, because I wanted to give it like a southern flavor too. So we had black-eyed peas with cornbread muffins. And we had the chicken stew, which is called cafriella, which is like chicken marinated down in some lime and peppers and onions and fresh garlic that I grew and herbs that I grew. And then you going to cook that chicken down in a pot with its own marinade and juices. And you don't cook it too long, because then you're going to finish it off on the grill. So my cousin Peter Boy, he helped us cook too. Peter Boy and Uncle Ray helped me a lot. And so we had that. And then the black eyed peas was stewed down with smoked turkey. Then we charred some cabbage. We made cabbage steaks seasoned down. And
forget
them.
I asked about this menu, because I'm over here just jealous and salivating.
And then
because
we had it with the rice. And then for dessert, as we was watching the some of the footage from my journey, we had my sister bake some mini sweet potato pies.
Oh,
the people wanted more.
Falani.
Of the pies, girl.
Cousin.
And you know it's sweet potato season down
they
here.
They in season two, yes.
So, girl, everything hit the spot. And everybody came out. And my grandmother was so present. It's like she was so on point that evening, and she was so happy to have everybody, you know, in her yard. And she stayed outside all day from when we were setting up to the evening. She was so emotional, and it was just like the weather was perfect. So it was really, really historic because I don't know that them family members would have gotten together on that scale had I not put the girl, they asking for more.
Of course.
One cousin called, talk about, you need to sell the DVDs of clips from that night.
What does that sound like something my family would say?
Right, for $20 to the family members who didn't make it.
Cousin, why they want to turn everything into a
right,
DVD?
Right, I'm like, some to charge
and they like
them.
A photo book.
Right, I'm like, I said to cousin, this is a part of a larger documentary. You know, we'll get a chance, but I'm not doing that. So, because the family members that went, girl, they was making it hard for the ones who didn't make it.
Ooh.
The way they talked about the evening, girl, it was everybody was high from it. And then I gave parting gifts that was beautiful, a picture of old man Cullen, my great-great-grandparents, and the picture came out gorgeous. And so people parted with that, and it was just nice, girl.
Oh, my
like
goodness.
It was probably like 78 degrees that day.
That was a beautiful weekend.
Oh,
weekend.
Man, clear skies. It was just nice. So, yeah, that was the deal with that, girl.
Falani, I mean, I saw it on Instagram, but to hear it directly from your mouth, right?
Yeah.
I can only imagine to be there in person.
It was nice, yeah.
Wow.
It felt almost like a dream. It's to the point where, again, I told y'all my grandma, she has dementia, so a lot of the time she's not very present.
Mm-hmm.
But this day she was very present, I think because it felt very familiar
right.
to her.
Wow.
Because Grandma Lizzie, my great-great-grandpa's third wife, Grandma Lizzie, will host this dinner a family dinner on the Saddaway land where the cemetery, the family cemetery, the same land of my great-great-grandmother.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah. In any event, they used to have a huge dinner out there. So I was trying to mimic that vibration.
Okay.
Because my dad and everybody talked about it was huge, a huge family dinner out there on the homestead. It's always talked about. So I was trying to really mimic that. And my father made some farm tables. He had learned how to make from my great-great uncle Henry. He learned how to be a carpenter from him. And all these people came out, girl. My father is like, what, about 66? He's seen cousins that he hadn't seen since he was 7 at my dinner, girl.
Are you serious?
I'm not playing.
They Filani, was really the reconnected. Magnitude
yeah.
of...
they was really reconnected. It was just, it was vibrational.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
Very nostalgic, but very present and very futuristic as well. You know what I'm saying? And guess what my grandmother said, girl?
What she said?
My aunt put her to bed that night, she told my aunt, she said, come in, come in. She said, well, if you see any white people, don't tell them nothing about what happened tonight.
Really?
And I thought that was some deep shit.
What?
I was like, whoa. What a deep night.
Wow. Repeat that one more time.
She said, I was shocked because after we cleaned up and all that, I went back in the house to change into something more comfortable. Or even maybe, anyway, she said, my aunt said, guess what grandma said when I put her in the bed tonight after the event? She said, if you see any white people, don't you tell them nothing about what happened tonight.
That's deep.
Because obviously, one, we couldn't convene like that. And then secondly, she felt that it was things revealed.
That's deep.
It was a lot of things revealed.
That's deep. I can only imagine what was drumming up inside of her that she sat out. You said she sat outside from start to the conclusion, like to finish. And all those hours, what was drumming up inside of her? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then she seen her cousins and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my goodness gracious.
And all them. She was just really in her bag. And I like because, you know, usually my grandmother would be, because she like up and doing stuff. Love to host. She loved family reunions and stuff. And she was so bothered and frustrated that she couldn't get out of her chair to help us set up. So it was really cool kind of anyway because she would have been like, and she was like, who, when we were setting up, who is the boss lady here? Because my grandmother's bossy, she's sassy and all of that. She can't stand no other woman in her kitchen, in her yard. So I
fair.
So we setting up. So we like, where is she going with this question? And I was like, they said, well, you're the boss lady. One of my cousins was like, you're the boss lady. And then next in line is Bird. And she was like, and where's Miss Bird?
Ooh. she was looking for you.
The boss lady was to let me know.
She put out a...
And so, yeah, honey. So, but it was nice because we had her presence as we were setting up. And you could just tell she was so happy. She even mentioned how much her husband liked it. He just passed away in July. It was just nice. Girl.
That right there, deep. That right there. That energy.
It was touching. Yeah.
You do realize what you did, right?
Yeah. It took a while to let it sit in. Because, you know,
I'm
when
sure
you're
still soaking it in. You
totally. Totally. And so, of course, you know, it's still being talked about. People call once a week at least since it happened a few weeks ago, bringing something up. So I think I'm now going to plan a family reunion for that side.
Okay.
Because a lot of people was like, I don't even know this side that much.
Yeah.
But they got the call because of a cousin.
Because of a cousin.
And that cousin didn't put everybody on. She didn't even come.
What? Really?
Yeah, because of COVID, she take care of her mom.
Okay.
And her mom is 98.
Okay.
Her mom's nickname is Lil Sis. And
Lil Sis
looks so bomb at 98. And my cousin, we wanted Lil Sis to be there. She's the oldest in the fam. But all because of... all because of the COVID. But my cousin spreaded that word. So shout outs to Cousin Belinda.
Shout out, Cousin Belinda. Shout out.
Yeah.
I am so inspired. First of all, it's always just been my dream to just do a large, like, outdoor dinner, you know, for Black folk. That's just been a vision of mine. Mm-hmm. But a whole nother level to do this for your family. I'm inspired, but at the same time, understanding some of the dynamics within my family that I experienced.
Yeah.
I would want to do this in the small town of where Big Ma grew.
Yeah.
And there's some touchy dynamics regarding land.
Right.
And which had me feeling like an outsider a bit in that town.
Okay.
And so it really does make me sad to say it. Like, I think maybe over a year or so ago, like, I would be able to pull this off, but because the dynamics are tricky, I don't know, but I still love them and I would love to bring everyone together, but there's some dynamics and there's been some conversations and it's been surrounding around land.
Has it been recent?
Very recent.
Oh, okay. Because I was about to say, I find that if it's been like a while ago.
Yeah.
Girl, people in the country don't have shit to do.
They so don't. They trust me.
Even the ones.
Ain't nothing down
who
there.
Acting like they not coming on that day.
Yeah.
They pull up and show up. And what you find interesting is most of the time, if you practice alchemy and create the energy. Mm-hmm. None of that stuff will even come up.
It won't even come up.
People are so in the moment, girl.
You know what? You make such a good point because I can't even remember a text message I sent like a second ago. Or I can't even like before, unless it has to be something real significant. But like it is, you're so right. It's in the moment. It's just like, I forget about how someone made me feel a couple days ago or a day. You know, it's just like in that moment, I'm raging. Next day, I didn't listen.
Yeah, I mean, because you got to move on. And at the end of the day, it's family. I mean, what do you want to dodge your family the rest of your life over a dispute or something that have nothing to even do with you?
Right.
It's families out here.
Yeah.
Who it's generational beefs.
Yeah.
They bring kids into this world and put that stuff on that kid. And it's like, that child don't have nothing to do with that shit.
Nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm. So that child don't know their cousins because of something.
Yeah. Something that you're still holding on to.
Yeah.
And it's not fair. It's not fair at all. Yeah. No, I needed that. Thank you.
Yeah.
I really needed that because I don't want that to stop me.
Yeah,
you know,
just
because,
do it. Don't even think about
it. Yeah, my goal is to bring my family together, you know, and especially like the last two children of my great grandparents are still living, you know.
Wow.
And so while we still have them.
Yeah, I mean, because they start going.
They do. And even in the small town of where my big mom grew, I actually had an opportunity to talk to like one of my big mom's like childhood friends.
Look at
and
that.
just to sit there. He said, he was like, it's not too many of us. He's like, I'm really like one of two just left in this small town. And I'm just like,
Yeah. And if we don't get those stories, they'll just go with them. Yeah.
Right.
It's not something that you can Google, you know? Yeah. It's,
I will say it was so me and my big mom when we at went, because really, I'm getting them down there because I'm wanting to go. Because sometimes they're just like, oh, we're not going down to the country. And I'm like, no, I want to go. And so that's been an opportunity for me to get them down there.
Right.
And me and Big Ma. And that, I'm telling you, I'm sure that the way that town look is the same way it looked when my father was born there.
Right.
When my Big Ma was, I mean, like
exactly.
Literally. But I got footage of me and Big Mond is walking down the road that small town. I'm just like, we kicking it where you grew up at. Yeah. Literally.
And that's golden.
Yes. And I'm in a car with her and she's pointing out, she was just like, that's the railroad track we used to cross when we used to cut across the creek and get to cousin so-and-so house. And this place had like the best hamburgers. Those moments.
Girl. This is, now see, you're going to get me when I tell you this because it's too many relative things. We got a railroad track right there by this place that has some good burgers.
Mm.
And it's funny that you brought that up because this place that had the real good burgers, it was white owned. And
yes,
black people had to go to the side.
Fulani's up
to get their food.
It.
And my,
yes.
My great grandpa, he raised my father and my uncle, Artis Ray, who just called. And Artis Ray, girl, he went there one day and got a burger. And my great-grandpa told them boys, don't shop anywhere where you can't go through the front door.
Mm.
Well, boy, he called Ray, getting a burger out that thing. He let Ray make it to the house, girl, around the corner. He tore Ray's ass up.
What?
He whipped Ray's ass for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
It could have been much worse.
And he said the burgers were so good.
You know what?
The burgers were so damn good. He had to have it. But here the crazy part about it is that at that same place, he taught his grandsons that, but his wife sometime will work back there in the kitchen.
Mm.
So I'm like,
interesting.
This is interesting.
Wow. Same thing. Big Mom talks about that burger place. Juicy hamburgers.
Yeah.
They couldn't go in through the front. They had to go in through the back.
Look at that.
Yep. Like, segregation. Yep.
Yeah.
That's how they had to get them burgers. And it was white-owned.
And white-owned.
Mm-hmm.
And that same place, though, later on in life and down there, because like I told you, my great-grandpa, he was a moonshine dealer, and he was an entrepreneur and a businessman. And he had some brothers, you know, that he ran with, Boy Blue and Sugar Man and all these cats.
I love these names.
Girl,
I
and
love
they
these
ran
names.
That town. They were very well respected. So it was, the Hartsfield guys, that same store that had them good burgers. Anyway, so one of my great uncles, Uncle James Rayford, He kind of had the stature of my great grandpa, but anyway, some black man pulled up to that same burger place. I don't know if he went in there and tried to get served or something, but he got beat up by the white guys, beat up bad, girl. And my Uncle James and his boys came up there and shot up the place. They shot that burger place up, girl.
Dang.
And they said the following day, black people was going in that front door.
Ooh.
Girl.
And let's be clear, they had shotguns,
yeah,
not little guns,
shot
not little Glocks.
Up.
I'm sure they had shotguns.
Yeah, my uncle and them, they didn't like how they beat up his fellow brethren. And I don't even think he knew that boy, but they said, and stuff like that don't happen in Redtown, where my family was from.
Mm.
And they shot up that place, girl, because they beat up that black man to the pulp, they said.
Ooh.
And so that was probably the last time they tried to evoke that type of fear, girl.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
But
Dad.
Yeah, honey, we can
Dad.
Talk all day.
All day. We sure can. Well, we're going to wrap up in a few moments,
okay.
But I enjoyed this.
Yes.
Cousin. This is. I hope y'all got a taste for cousin talk, you know? These conversations will definitely evolve and... I just like you, I mean, you just got back not too long, but hey, had you actually been back to North Carolina since you
did
that? Because
I
know how you roll, you be right back around.
I've been thinking about it, but I've been so busy. I haven't been back since then, but I'm going to go back soon.
Okay.
So yeah, because even people was like, the news should have been there.
Yes.
Franklin Times and this and that. And I was like, these people, but again, it gave them something to talk about and
Absolutely.
Some
yeah.
good old family culture.
I love it. Yeah, I just got back from Jackson, Mississippi a week ago. And I was actually really down there for a Jackson State Homecoming. So shout out Jackson State Homecoming. It's a big deal now. It's a huge deal. But, you know, just some of the key moments that I had down there. Always with my family. Always key moments. But so I told my grandmother, I said, Grandma, I want some persimmons. Well, let's go to the church and I'm going to drive you across the parking lot and we're going to go pull some. And that's exactly what we did.
Okay.
I love that woman. So I got an opportunity. And we've done that before. It's actually, I think, my second or third time with her. There's a persimmon tree that she knows that's near church, not too far from where she lives.
Uh-huh.
And so we drove across that lot, honey, that grassy, gravelly lot. I'm like, Grandma, she said, just keep going.
Priceless.
I love that woman. She not afraid of nothing. Pull the limbs. We grabbing persimmons.
I love it.
Yes. And then I got to visit my granddad, which is my grandmother's husband, you know, is deceased. And so that was actually my first time going to visit the site since he passed last year. So I was standing on his grave and I was like, "Ooh, granddad." I was like, "I'm sorry." And then I had to make a joke about it because he's the way where his site is, it's close to the road in Jackson.
Okay.
And it was a running joke in the family that he would say, "Bury me near the street because I want people to wave at me when they're going by."
Yeah.
And I said, "Granddad, I said, this is what you want." I said, "People waving at you."
Yes. And no, it's really real.
It is real.
Yeah, because we got a family cemetery that when we ride by, we blowing the horn.
Yes.
And, you know, showing love. So.
Yes.
You don't want to be somewhere where you all forgotten and tucked off.
Not at all. At all. Exactly. But, you know, any waking moment that I get to spend with the aunties, you know, who want to hang out with the younger nieces, you know, doing the line. We went out the night before I flew back to D.C.
Nice.
Girl, my aunts was doing the line dance. I got one aunt. She's like the line dance queen.
Ooh.
She knows all line dances for every single song. So we're in this like little lounge and she's showing us all the moves and everything.
Ooh,
we
love
getting
a
up.
Country lounge.
Yes.
Girl.
Yes. We're doing all the line dance. And that is. So that moment is just so rich for me because this is the aunt that is known in the family, you know, as the line dancer.
Yes.
You know, that is her.
Yes.
You say line dancing and my Aunt Angel, that is her.
Yeah.
You know, so it's so rich, so much. But shout out to my
Super
Mississippi
rich.
Folks, you know, shout out to Jackson. But I you know, again, my grandmother loves her greens. We went to the farmer's market at Commentine.
Girl, I was about to say, I know y'all made some greens.
Girl, you know it.
Some mustards.
Mustards
and
turnips and
collards.
Yeah, we had all of that. And
yes,
then listen.
Indeed. Do they call it salad down there?
You know they do.
Yes,
they do. It's a salad.
That they gonna cook down. I'm like, okay, salad greens.
So right before, actually the day that my flight left, the night before I told my grandma, I said, I want some cornbread and greens before I go. She said, okay, I got you. Girl, grandma got up, made me some cornbread on the stove.
Oh, my.
The bomb.
That is special. What a blessing.
Seriously,
girl.
I had some turnip greens.
Waking
to go
up
with
to grandma's
it.
Turnip greens
yes.
and cornbread.
Because she's gonna make sure I'm fed before I get on that flight.
Mm.
Yeah. I sat there. We got tons of greens from the farmer's market. She sat in the kitchen. She has a little chair.
Yeah.
Pulls her greens, throws, you know, she has sciatica, so she has some, you know, issues with the back. And so she'll just talk. But like that woman, 89, don't leave. She's like, I still want to drive.
I can still do X, Y, and Z.
She's just like, I'm still independent, you know, tossing the stems on the ground and cooking her. Like, that's her thing. She loves her greens. She loves them. And I sit and watch her every single time. Actually, I thought about you. I was going to send you a photo.
Oh,
I saw
how
I was going
to
send you a photo. Like, look at grandma sitting in the kitchen picking her greens.
No, that's special.
Yes. It's so special.
A blessing to, one, for her to be able to still do that.
Exactly.
And then for you to have those moments with her.
Exactly.
Like,
You can't put a price tag on that. You cannot. And I grappled actually with going down there because it was just a lot happening. And I'm like, this is my family. I got to look like I don't have these. I'm not going to have these moments all the time.
Right.
You know, so right. I gotta take advantage of this like as much as I possibly can. So anyway. Cousin, this has been dope.
Yes, girl. And again, we could go on and on.
Yes, we can.
Some convo for the next episode.
Yes, because we got so much more to talk about. So much more. So thank y'all for tuning in. I'm Melissa L. Jones here of the Edible Activist Podcast, creator of Food Talks in Color. My girl, Filani, over here.
Yes, a bird's nest box.
Yes.
And we hope other cousins would come and join us.
Yes.
Because we'll have some guests,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely.
So again, it's not all about, you know, family and taboos, mm-hmm, and things like that. It's just going to be about life and relative situations, mm-hmm, and experiences. So, mm-hmm, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for tuning in, y'all. You can catch this episode on iTunes and Spotify. And also, go ahead and rate us on iTunes, you know? So, let us know how you like this episode. This episode you'll also find on YouTube as well. We're going to upload the audio version. So, if you go ahead and like and love it with your heart and comment and let us know what you enjoyed most about this show. And until then, we'll see you next episode, and peace. Thanks for tuning in. You can catch today's episode on iTunes, Spotify, and Simplecast. And be sure to follow us at Food Talks in Color, that's just the letter N, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And did you know we are on Patreon? This is a way for you to take action and support our mission of amplifying BIPOC voices on the Edible Activist Podcast. Visit patreon.com/foodtalksincolor to learn more. Peace and blessings. And remember, in the great words of Baba Tariq Adunu, there is no culture without agriculture.